السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to our esteemed listeners of Markaz Sahaba, Voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and our esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar International. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we come to you live from our studio in Johannesburg and Durban on this beautiful Monday morning, the 4th of Shaban, 1446, corresponding with the 3rd of February, 2025. Ya Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yambaghi li jalali wajhik wa azimi sultanik. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabi ba'da وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين عوفوا أهدا الذين هم مفاتيح الرحمة ومصابيح الغرر. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلُ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. حضرت مفتي عبد القادر صاحب, As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban to you this beautiful Monday morning. May Allah Ta'ala grant you and Apa afiyat, good health. And may Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accept all your khidmats and may the Ummah benefit tremendously from all the beautiful discourses. Mufti Saab, the platform is yours.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بارك الله فيكم مولانا سليم كريم. آمين آمين to all the wonderful du'as and supplications. جزاك الله خيرا to our technicians, brother Junaid Khan and brother Dawood Monley. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 4th of Sha'ban and Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara, Masjid al-Aqsa, Palestine and South Africa, and 90%, 95% of the countries of the world. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We recite the dua: Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa balighna Ramadan. Ya Allah Jalla wala, grant us barakah, blessing during this month of Sha'ban and spare us for the month of Ramadan. As mentioned in Mishkat Sharif, in Abwabul Jumu'ah, in the chapter related to the Friday prayer, layer. Similarly, we should be reciting the following dua as well, on the authority of Ubadah bin Su'amit radiallahu anh, as mentioned in Tabarani and Kanzul Ummal. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan. Ya Allah, protect and save us for Ramadan. No accident, no kidnapping, hijacking and mishap. وَسَلِّمْ رَمَضَانَ لَنَا, and protect Ramadan for us. No war and no scamdemic and plandemic and all these unsavory events. وَسَلِّمْهُ لَنَا مُتَقَبَّلًا. Ya Allah, our broken, humble speech and actions, you accept it in your beloved court, Ya Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So these are the du'as we should be reading daily. Learn it, teach it to our children, grandchildren and our students as well. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today we focus on Surah Ash-Shura, chapter 42, the mutual consultation, and verses 49, 50, 48, 49, and inshallah. So let me just see, today's lesson we are focusing on chapter 42, verses 49, 50, and 51. 49, 50, and 51 is today's lesson. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us, Lillahi, Lame Tamlik, it belongs only, solely, exclusively to Him, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, Mulku Samawati wal Ard, the sovereignty, authority, majesty, and the kingdom of the heavens and the earth and the entire universe belongs exclusively to Him. It does not belong to any government or any power. They come and go. How many people came? How many governments came? When we were young boys 60 years ago and more, they would tell us the sun would not set on the British Empire. Today you can't even see the sun properly there. Every second day and every day almost is overcast there. Kudrat ka karishma, the manifestation of the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Lillahi mulku samawat, that the dominion, authority, sovereignty, majesty belongs only, solely, exclusively to Him, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, in the celestial creation, terrestrial creation. يَخُلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ, He creates and continues creating whatever He wants to. Allah لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ, behold, only for Him, exclusively for Him is creating. No scientist, no professor, nobody can create. Create means min al-adam ila al-wujud, that something is totally non-existent and now you bring it into existence, you give it life, and soulment takes place, you insert the ruh. No scientist, no doctor, no professor can tell you where is the ruh and the soul at the time of death. Till today, they do not know. Quran Sharif taught us, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, of knowledge they have been given a very small little amount, and nobody can create. Allah has given the scientists, the professors, the doctors, humanity this challenge. لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا وَلَوِ اجْتَمَعُوا لَهُ, never ever will they be able to create one single fly, even of all of them come together for that purpose. Surah 22, chapter 22, and that is Surah Al-Hajj and verse number 73. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala is teaching us, He alone is the Khaliq. Because He does the ensoulment, inserts the ruh. He'll tell the angels, this will be the boy, this will be the girl, this will be the twins, triplets. All that is the sole prerogative of Him, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, the only Khaliq and the only Malik. He is the sole owner of the universe and the exclusive creator. يَخُلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ, and He creates whatever He wants to. 8 billion plus people today on this earth, everyone has different features and everyone looks different. Who is doing all that? The scientist? The professor? Nay, it's only وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, the one and only. This is exclusive to Him. Now, my mother, my sister, my daughter. See the word Allah is using. Yahabu, Allah gives a gift. Or when Allah Ta'ala lets you conceive, O sister, then you go the full term and you give birth. That is a gift, a divine gift, directly from Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yahabu liman yasha'u inatha. He Almighty Allah grants and gives whosoever he wants, daughters only. I am born in Heidelberg, Transvaal, Gauteng. My neighbors, both sides, the Timors and the Babas, one had 5 daughters, one had 2 daughters, no sons. So sometimes Allah gives daughters only. So that also is a gift from Almighty Allah. وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ. And then Almighty Allah sometimes gives sons all the time. Where I am married, they are 10 brothers. Each one came. And then they went for Hajj, my father-in-law, mother-in-law. Allah grant all of them Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la. But Shaykh al-Islam, Hazrat Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani, Nawwar Allahu marqadahu, steamer Hate Gaila. They went with a ship from India, Bombay to Jeddah. They went with Shaykh al-Islam, came back with Shaykh al-Islam, 10 sons, and they cried and they told Shaykh al-Islam. They became his murid also, big dua for us. And then my popi was born, you see. So 10 sons first came. So sometime Allah gives sons only. And then 2, when Allah is saying it's all a gift, oh, you so vijuhum, oh, he gives both to them, zukurana wa inatha, the sons and daughters. Inna Allah qaddama al-inas ala zukur. Initially, Almighty Allah has mentioned the daughter first, and then Almighty Allah mentioned the boys. In today's world, you will find the African culture, the Indian culture, the Arab culture, and many cultures till today, they love having much more boys than daughters. But Allah mentions daughters first. Therefore, ulama ne ek nukta lika, they wrote one beautiful note for us. They said that this is tafa'ul. It is ek nekfali. It's a good omen. If your children, the first one is a daughter, then after you have sons and daughters, so that family has a special favor and a gift and a divine bounty from Almighty Allah. Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy, Allah's karam, benevolence, grace and mercy when I look at myself. So now my sister, eldest sister, 80 years old. I am going for 70. So in this Ramadan Islamically, so in that 10 years, first my sister, then my 2 brothers, then my sister, then I am the last one, last born, you see. Therefore, this to spoil me a lot, you see, when I was very young. So in that 10 years, 2 brothers already passed away, parents passed away. So it's just my 2 sisters and myself. So we 5 siblings, right? So you must remember, any one of you, that if your first child is a daughter, then you should never, ever feel disappointed. You should say, Alhamdulillah, Allah has favored us even more. Surah 42 and verse number 49. Imagine. That is the system of Almighty Allah. You're my brother, my sister. Now your wife is expecting. So both of you should be reading. You know Surah Yasin. That is chapter 36. Go and read chapter number 37. Surah Suhafat. The wonderful, beautiful dua and supplication of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Read it and understand the translation both ways. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. O Allah, grant me pious children and offspring. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. Ya Allah, grant me normal children. That we don't want, Ya Allah, such children that there's no arm, or they blind, or they deaf, and there's so many problems, then it's a special child. You will get your reward, but rather make dua for a normal child. وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَقِيمًا. And some people, no children at all. You see, Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu warda, no children. Mother Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, no children. Then you see others, you must remember, Sheikh Mawlana Abul Hassan al-Nadwi, نور الله مرقده, no children. Hazrat Tanvi, نور الله مرقده, no children. Myself, no children. So that is kudrat ka taksim, kudrat ka karishma, that you must be ridha bil qada. Whatever Almighty Allah gave you, you accept it and you are pleased with it also. Allah knows best, you see. So aqima means Allah Ta'ala keeps the couple barren. They don't have any children. Innahu alimun qadir. He knows everything, Almighty Allah. The past, the present, the future. His knowledge all embracing, all encompassing. Qadir, he has the power over everything. Abdul Qadir, Allah, and I am the slave of the one who has power over everything. Abdul Qadir, I am the slave of the one who knows, who has power over everything at all times, all places. So there's a greater emphasis when you say Qadir. Abdul Qadir isme fa'il, Qadir sifa mushabba. So all that is technical jargon, but remember that it has greater emphasis. You want to keep your daughter's name Fa'iza, successful. Fa'iza, always successful. You got it now? So male Fa'iz and Fa'iz, so same thing there also. So you should know this when you select the name for your baby, for your son, for your daughter. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, in the next verse, chapter 42, verse 51, is teaching us a wonderful lesson. How does Almighty Allah Jalla Wala send wahi, revelation, to the prophets and messengers, alayhimus salatu salam? They are selected by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla and not elected. You see what clowns you get in different countries because of elections. وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ. It does not behove any human being, أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ, that Almighty Allah speaks to him, but one of these three ways, إِلَّا وَحْيًا, but Allah Ta'ala sends revelation to them directly, whether they are فِي الْمَنَامِ, while they are fast asleep in a dream, رُؤْيَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَحْيٌ, the dream of the prophets and messengers, وَحْي. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was sleeping and then he saw the dream, Anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara, I see I am sacrificing you, slaughtering you, my beloved son Ismail alayhi salam. What do you say? Go read the noble Quran and see what Almighty Allah says. So sometime it will happen whilst that person is fast asleep, and sometime it will happen while that Nabi is wide awake also. So go read, you must remember Surah Safat, chapter number 37, Inni Ara Fil Manam. So chapter 37, Surah Safat, and verse number 102-103, and the lesson carries on. So it could happen daytime that you have a very, very strong feeling directly from Almighty Allah in the inner recesses of the heart. And remember, this is for prophets and messengers. Allah Jalla Wala protects that wahi, and that is how they know that this is revelation directly from Almighty Allah. Oh, mu wara'i hijab, or behind the curtain and the veil. It does not mean there's a veil curtain. It means that you can't see Almighty Allah, but the sound and the voice comes from Almighty Allah. You're listening to me directly directly now in your car, in your house, in your kitchen, but the sound is coming from one side. When Allah speaks to you, how Allah spoke to Nabi Musa alayhi salam, the sound comes from all four sides. Remember that. Simultaneously, and mi wara'i hijab, mi wara'i nur. So the nur is coming, the radiance, the effulgence, and the voice of Almighty Allah Jalla wala. O Yurusila Rasula, O Almighty Allah, sends the archangel Gabriel, Jibreel alayhi salatu salam, and then he brings the wahi revelation, either in the form of an angel or either in the form of a human being, multi-dimensional forms. Almighty Allah Jalla wala gave them that power for yuhiya bi idnihi, and then that wahi is sent to him, to that Nabi and that Prophet selected by Almighty Allah, with the permission and consent of Almighty Allah. Ma yasha, whatever he wills. 6,236 verses, 114 chapters, sent to Mustafa, Habibuna, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam, what we call the Quran Sharif. So remember, Al-Mu'jiza Al-Kubra, Al-Mu'jiza Al-Khalida, the greatest miracle of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, is, will always be the noble Quran, the eternal perpetual miracle. It will continue till the day of Qiyamah. It will continue after Qiyamah. Nabi Dawood alayhi salatu salam, with his golden voice, will recite Surah Ar-Rahman on the day of justice to show us this is Kalamullahi ta'ala, Kalamul Muluk and Mulukul Kalam, the best of speech. Remember that. Innahu Aliyun Hakim, he Almighty Allah was, is very, very exalted and sublime. Hakim, very, very wise. So may Almighty Allah make us the lovers of the Quran Sharif, the lovers of Almighty Allah and Mustafa, Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today is the 4th of Shaban, 1446, and day 16 today of the ceasefire in Gaza with the Jutlas and Haramis and murderers. We present to you the news, views, and interviews. Remember that Israel, the Jutlas, the Jews, the Zionists are being used by America. This is America's war against Islam, against Muslims, against Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Trump, the tinpot dictator, thinks that he can just sign executive orders. Allah Jalla Wala is humiliating them daily, every day you can see. Yesterday at Bush Airport, there in Houston, another plane caught fire. You see that? Last week, 67 people fracked and died there in D.C., Washington. And Almighty Allah is showing them, I alone, I am fa'alul lima yurid. I do as I please. So you cannot tell me what to do. Inna batasha rabbika lashadid. The punishment of Almighty Allah Jalla wala is very severe. I told you last week, inshallah, during these 4 years, 20, 25, 26, 27, 28. Within that, you will find America disintegrating, and it won't remain as United States of America. It will become the United Snakes of America, and they all will break up, just like how the Soviet Union broke up. And the time for the empire to fall is ripe, and Allah ki lati bi awaze, and they're experiencing crazy, crazy things. Last year was the fire in L.A. and you know what happened there. 16,000 houses razed to the ground. Kudrat ka karishma. We have no empathy. We have no sympathy for them. We make dua and say, Allahumma harrik buyutahum, Allahumma dammir diyarahum, Allahumma ahlikum kam كما أهلكت عاد وثمود. In the past 70 years, what they did to the Muslims, whether it be in Iraq, whether it be in Palestine, whether it be in Syria, Libya, and so many other countries, go and count and see. Now in Sudan, go see what's happening. So therefore, we have no empathy. Allah is showing them a big lesson. So you can see, go read there what happened in Houston and how the plane caught on fire. So the Palestinians that were released by the apartheid regime of Israel, that they show you the signs of torture and starvation and so forth. That is what they do. Where are you, the human rights organizations? Where are you, the Western governments, always saying in Afghanistan, this is happening, that is happening. You are a bunch of haramis. And if you don't know what harami means, it means a bee. And for you, it means a big bee. You're a bunch of hypocrites and you have always double standards. If it was whiteys involved or Jews involved, then it should be on the front pages. But because it is Arabs or Muslims and so forth, therefore you don't bother. We know you very well. We know you from the days of apartheid, when the Boer and the white man, they had all their big boards. I can never ever forget that. Knee blankers, non-whites, and no dogs and no non-whites allowed in this park. In South Africa, we had that. You must be a moron if you don't know that, and you are 60, 70, 80 years old. You can't forget that. You must always throw it in their faces. They told us no dogs and no non-whites allowed. That was Foster, and that was Farhud, and that was P.W. Botha, and all these haramis. So now today, Netanyahu and Trump, the word they used there in the Haaretz newspaper headline, I can't pronounce it, but I will just make ishara, al-ishara to takfir al-aqil. I will just use the first letter. So the Haaretz writes, before there were warm embraces between the two, and now it is F you, O Netanyahu. You see that? So that is what they wrote. What must I do now? So you must remember, that is how Trump speaks. So you do it my way, or I send you on the highway. So now he's going cap in hand, BB, with his dirty clothing and his luggage and his laundry. He and his wife Sarah, both haramis, both humiliated. The worst prime minister in the history of Israel. See, yeah. وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ. You know, nowadays is Zamana, is time of robots. So they made a pro-Israeli bot, a robot. And then they asked it questions. Tell us about Israel. So the robot started speaking. This is their own robot. It said Israel and the Israeli diaper force and defense force. You are an apartheid regime and you are white colonizers. Imagine that their own robot said that. What we are saying for centuries, the true Muslims, we are saying that you are white colonizers in Africa and Asia and other parts of the world, and you are the ones that you are practicing on racist policy, apartheid. So there you have it from the horse's mouth. One of the flight attendants who was killed in D.C. in Washington, among the 67 was a Jutla, a male. We have no sympathy. We say, go to hell. Good riddance to you. Sarah Netanyahu, Bibi's wife, is also going to be investigated for criminal activities. So imagine that both of them have to come to court and different courts maybe, investigated, and both will be found guilty, inshallah, then thrown to husband and wife, both in jail, inshallah, just like Kadzef or their president. He couldn't look after his own rifle, just like Trump, you see. So they had him on rape charges, and he went to jail, just like Olmert. He was eating omelets there in the prison and jail for corruption charges. He was the prime minister minister of Israel. The Jutlas, the settlers, read the dua. Allahumma alayka bil Yahudi zalimin. Allahumma alayka bil mustawtinin. Ya Allah, you punish these Jutlas and teach them a lesson, the swines and the pigs and the monkeys, as mentioned in the Noble Quran, chapter number 5, verse number 60. There's a place called there, Jericho. We visited it. You, Mona Salim, you visited it also. Once we were together there in Palestine. Alhamdulillah, we met there. So now the settlers went and they burned the masjid. They raised it to the ground and they proud about it. These are the Jutlas, the scum of this earth, the pigs on this earth, according to Quran Sharif. We must be very, very clear on that issue. We don't have to curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician, any government. We have to speak the truth. وَالْحَقُّ وَحَقُّ أَيُّتَّبَعْ Chapter number 5, verse number 60. Chapter number 7, verse number 167. China to sue the Americans for the tariffs. Oh, Trump, his name starts and surname with a T. So he likes T, tariff, tariff, tariff is taxes, you see. So how to impose taxes and so forth. So he thinks he'll get away with it. So he's going to work both ways tomorrow from Tuesday. Canada will impose taxes and tariffs on America. Mexico will do the same. China will do the same. And China is going to sue America as well. Well done. We like the Chinese when they harm America. We like Putin when he harms America and Israel. MBS of Saudi, Murtad bin Shaitan meets Ahmad Shari, the Shari Shira. Shira can mean a businessman. He'll be selling this, selling that. So he met the leader of Qatar there in Damascus, and now his first foreign visit straight to Saudi. When people go to Saudi, they go with cap in hand. So please help us. You're going to give $1 trillion to Trump. So just give us 100 billion, 50 billion, 20 billion. So that is what they want. Everybody goes begging there. And then you have to play according to the agenda of MBS. If you don't do that, he'll cut off the aid. European leaders will wag the tail for Trump. Who said so? Putin. You see that? 12 killed in Ukraine. Russian missile struck them and then they were gone, finished. Listen to this, you Muslims. I found this late at night from our correspondent. We have our own correspondent. And if you have my number, 071-888-1184. This person is an American, right? And maybe he has an Israeli passport as well. You know, they have dual citizenship. What is his name? Keith Siegel. I sent it out on my status. I'll send it out today on all the groups and on Telegram. Keith Siegel, American, writes a letter to Qassam Brigade and he says, I want to thank you. You looked after me when I was not well. You called the doctor for me. You did much more for me than the Israeli regime and the Jutlas and so forth. What do you say now? Why don't you carry it? Oh, you Western media. Oh, you Zionist media. Oh, you Haram media. This is the letter directly from the American guy who was released by Hamas, and he writes a letter to the Qassam Brigade praising them and saying, you did much more for me compared to the Israeli regime. A letter like that, you as a Muslim, you people of justice, should be sending it out to every person on this earth, to all your contacts, Muslim and non-Muslim. So the minister to visit India for mining activities. These Saudis, what they know about mining? Wherever they hit, some oil comes out, you see that? And they say Bill Gates, the Harami, he was now busy with computers, and then he became one of the biggest players. By mistake he found a computer, and then the betterment of his, you know, innovative ideas made him a master in that. He is proposing that we have to ban the social media for under 16. This is Bill Gates. He says what Australia did, the time has come now after spending billions of dollars on this year. Now he says we have to ban it. Too many problems in our youth and teenagers and so forth. Pakistan, a sad tale again. Dozens of soldiers and people killed in Balochistan. 160,000 people march in Germany against the far right because these elections there. In 3-4 weeks' time, halal tourism is increasing. Do you know what they mean by halal tourism? Halal is halal and halal friendly. They came with this term of halal friendly. You go to a restaurant, you go to a place, one side they have wine and swine, and the other side they have like a halal corner, so they call that halal friendly. All this is haram, and the biggest culprits in this are the Arab regimes. Remember, you will find wine and swine in most countries there. Alcohol is in every country. And remember, these halal organizations, South Africa and the whole world, with their halal logo, not with the paper on which is written. Violence against the females is getting worse in the UK. What you have to say now? You want to blame me or go read the article in the 70s by Judge Pickles in the Old Bailey? I was in school and I read it those days. Remember that? I like his name, Judge Pickles. Sudan, the mortuaries are full to capacity. America is busy there. 3 years now, you must remember that Russia is busy with Ukraine, and there Russia made a deal with Sudan. America say no. No, we will not allow it. And then they brought the rapid force, and the UAE, the haramis, munafiqeen and murtads, the government, are financing it, if you understand. Thousands have to flee. Thousands and thousands have to flee their homes. There in Queensland, you must remember, Australia. Why? Because the rains, the floods have come. South African news, cry, my beloved country. Load shedding was in full force in various parts in the country after 10 months. 14 soldiers died in the DRC. South Africans, because our Minister of Defense is another hopeless, useless candidate and minister. Now they're even struggling to bring the bodies. Yesterday they were reading out the names. Whilst I was going to the mosque, I see they read one white guy's name, Stridom. Stridom is an Afrikaner guy. No water in Chatsworth. Not your Chatsworth there in Durban. No water in Chatsworth. That's in Cape Town next to Malmesbury. For 1 week and 10 days they don't have water. People say we can't bath, and the children and old people are getting sick. What are you doing, ODA? This is your territory. So the people are complaining there. Chatsworth, Cape Town. And bridges are collapsing in South Africa, in Johannesburg, the richest city, and you said world-class city. I hope when the G20 comes, I wonder if Trump comes. Imagine when these guys come, and while they're traveling, another bridge collapses. That will be a world-class country and a world-class city. Hopeless, useless. ANC, they know nothing about maintenance. Johannesburg suffered a triple this weekend. Johannesburg suffered a triple this weekend. Heat wave, more than 30 degrees. Load shedding and water outages. So many places, no water, no electricity, plus the heat wave. In Khayelitsha, Cape Town, a pastor, he comes with his Bible, but he brought his rifle with, and now he is arrested for rape. You see, you need to be very careful of these characters here. Our program today, 8 to 8:30 to 9, we will discuss the sanctity of the Messiah. masajid and the desecration of the masajid and mosque. Today, 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, we'll make a note of it. Monday to Thursday will be our political analyst, Alphas and Corsi, Alphas ELPHA. So we will send out the advert also between 12 and 1, Monday to Thursday, inshallah. He will speak about the international political scene and what's happening in South Africa and so forth. Inshallah, inshallah, we will have the report back between 2 to 2:30 after the tafsir. And tonight will be Q&A between 8 and 10 with Hafiz Wadi. And inshallah, Aziz, Wednesday, we'll be leaving, inshallah, for Botswana. But all your programs will continue as normal here. Maulana Salim, we have 23 minutes left. Let us fire up, inshallah, because Salat now has changed from today to 5:20. So we have more time than before. Barakallahu fiqh, jazakallahu khair.
Isab, a couple went for Hajj together and the husband passed away during the days of Hajj. What is the Shariat's matla regarding her iddat? Does she remain or does she return home?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The couple went for Hajj, and then it happened to us once, I remember. So the husband passed away 2-3 days before Hajj and so forth and so on. So then they came to me. So I said, let's go and find out from the auntie Kala Masi. Kala Masi, auntie, did you perform Hajj before? She said, yes. So I said, now we have to put you in the plane and you must go home. And if your mahram can come by, it'll be all the better. But now you can't continue with Hajj and all that, because your Hajj is nafil, is a voluntary Hajj, and your iddat will start from the time of death, 130 days. But if it is a farz Hajj, and nowadays you know all the drama there to be with the quota and all this registration and all that. So in a case like that, we will tell the Kala Masi auntie that, okay, your husband passed away, rahimahullah, you perform your first Hajj, this is beyond your control, death came for your husband, Allah grant him Jannat al-Firdaus, maybe he's buried in Medina Munawwara or Makkah Mukarramah, alhamdulillah for that, and he will get the full reward. وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُحَاجِرًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُهُ الْمَوْتِ فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. When you go out in the path of Almighty Allah and then death occurs, then you will still receive the maximum and the optimum reward. So you'll be considered, inshallah, on the day of justice like a person who performed Hajj. And يُبْعَثُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُلَبِّي. If he passed away in the state of Ihram, he'll be reciting the Labbaik Allah. So simple answer is this: if that person, that lady, had performed Hajj already, then remember she must come home immediately. And if she have not performed a Hajj, then stay there and then come. But your iddat will always be from the time of death, and then you don't go here and there touring. You come straight home after the Hajj. The ayat I quoted is Surah 4, Surah Nisa, and verse number 100. So very easy reference that you will still get the full reward, inshallah. That is the benevolence and mercy of Almighty Allah. Chapter 4, verse 100.
Mufti Saab, would it be okay for a breastfeeding lady to breastfeed her sister's newborn child?
Remember, there's no real need for that. You are the Kala, you are the Masi. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al Khala to be manzilatil My Masi, she is just like my mother. When I used to come from Karachi and meet my Masi, my Kala, they would embrace me and kiss me and so many things they would do. So you are a mahram for your Masi already, for your Kala, for your maternal auntie, your mother's sister, and so forth and so on. But why our people want to do that? There's another reason and rationale. That is that when she breastfeeds, you must remember her sister's son, sister's daughter. So then her children, the one sister's children, and the other children from the other sister, then the laws of parda and hijab will not be applicable. But remember, you can't marry also then. So remember that in normal cases, you can marry the children from one sister and the children from the other sister. So my sister's son and my other sister's daughter, so they can get married and so forth. My sister is married like that in Ispingo Beach. So my mother Halima and my Masi Maryam, Auntie Maryam, you see, all passed away. So my sister married to her Masi's son. So remember that. So that is permissible, obviously. So they want that the parda laws must fall away and then they won't get married. Is it jais? Yes, permissible. So, but we won't encourage it too much, but it is permissible.
Mufti Saab, is a man mahram to his wife's sister?
Remember that you can marry your wife's sister after your wife has passed away, after you divorce your wife and the iddat is finished. So definitely she is not, she's an ajnabiyya to you, a stranger to you, and you are not a mahram to her, you are a stranger to her. Therefore, those of you who are going for umrah and you're going with your wife and you're taking your wife's sister, when your wife is in a bathroom, you alone with your wife's sister, and then what's going on? So maybe some hanky-panky business. One day, Maulana, I was in Durban. One small lighty came to me, 8-9 years old. He said, AK, I hear you saying hanky-panky business. What is this hanky-panky business? I said, you must ask your father when you're alone with him. He'll explain to you all the details, the hanky-panky business. All haram, all these things. So you are never, ever a mahram for your wife's sister. Now they want to go shopping. He say, oh my popi, come we go and bring your sister also along. So now he's tired of his wife. He wants to check some new pastures. You see that? Once tasted, never wasted. All haram business, all that, not permissible.
Mufti Saab, my family is hectic on titles, especially if they have done hajj. We have to say Haja or Haji Bhai, Haji. Is this true when you return from Hajj? You have to say Hajj before the name.
All this is our Indian titles. You must remember that we read Salat daily with Allah's help. Nobody says Muswalli so and so. We fast every Ramadan, Alhamdulillah. Nobody say As-Sa'im so and so or Sa'ima for the lady. So why must we say Al-Hajj and so forth? Listen to the dua Mustafa Rahmatul Lil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made when he was, the Master alayhi salam was returning. He, Mustafa Rahmatulil Alameen Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, entered Makkah on the 4th of Zulhijjah, in the 10th year of the Hijrah. It was a Sunday, and then returned on the night of the 14th, remember, from where? Batha Abtah. When you go to Aziziyah and you look at Dawood Mota, you know Dawood Mota, that is bin Dawood, Shisha branch, that whole area there is called Batha Abtah. So we don't say where Dawood Mota is, we say that location in that area, from there on the night of the 14th. So in 10 days everything was done. Remember the 6-day Hajj, the Master alayhi salam spent 6 days, and then everything else was done. Arrival 4th, departure on the 14th, and then the Master alayhi salam made dua, and the hadith in Ibn Majah, Allahumma ij'alha hajjatan la riya'a fiha wa la sum'a. Ya Allah, make this hajj such a hajj, la riya'a, not to impress the eyes of people, wa la sum'a, and not to impress the ears of people. So why you want all these titles there? Just to show off and so forth, impress the eyes of people, impress the ears of people. So this is haram when you make ibadat. Li yura'i, may yusalli wa yura'i, فقد أشرك ومن يصوم وهو يرائي فقد أشرك ومن يتصدق وهو يرائي فقد أشرك. When a person read Salat, when a person gave charity, when a person gave fast, but is Riya, you just want to impress people and show off, you're committing Shirk. That Shirk is not Shirk Kabir, to take you out of the fold of Islam, is Shirk Saghir. That is a sign of Munafiqeen and hypocrite. Totally unacceptable. You must remove all those things here. It is our Indian story, brought with the Lal Kitab and so forth. We must cry to Allah that, Ya Allah, accept our ibadat. Go look at Sahaba. Allah Jalla Wala praises them. Wa qulubuhum wajilatun annahum ila rabbihim raji'un. Their hearts were shivering, trembling. Mother Aisha Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq said, Ya Rasulullah, I pose this question to you. These people whose hearts are now trembling, who are they? They are those people, Yasni wa Yasriq and wa Yashrabul Khamar. They committed crimes of alcohol, drinking alcohol, fornication, adultery, or they stole and committed fraud. Qala Allah, la ya binta Siddiq. No. You got the wrong interpretation. They are those people, Yuswalloon, wa Yasumoon, wa Yatasaddaqoon. They read Salat, they fasting, they giving charity, wa Yakhafoon. But they fear, will their actions be maqbooleen or matrudeen? Will they be accepted in the court of Almighty Allah, or will they be rejected? Go read the verse, wa qulubuhum wajilatun annahum ila rabbihim raji'un. Chapter number 23, verse number 60. So that is the shan, the condition of the true Muslim. And people who want riya and sum'ah, just want to show off, just like the munafiqeen and hypocrites, then they will say big titles in one of the nasiha, either today's nasiha or either tomorrow's nasiha. You must listen to it. Babu ma ja'a fi tamaduh. When you start praising people excessively, Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, yahsud turab, that you must take sand and put it in his mouth, that he's going so much, you know, and excessively, and he's praising that people. One day a person praised another. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, faqad dhabahta, you have slaughtered and sacrificed that person. So Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when you want to praise somebody, say, ahsibuhu, I think and I consider him to be diverse. Wala uzakki alallahi ahad. All three ahadith in Ibn Majah, that I cannot sanctify and pontificate against Almighty Allah, elevate people. How much hulu they make. 10 titles before they introduce that person. So therefore, all haram, not permissible.
Mufti Saab, my marhum cousin's daughter has been getting proposals. The boys say no. We only heard recently that they are Ahle Hadith and Salafi. Please explain what's the religious practices and if it's wrong.
Remember that in this day and this age, we say that you must believe in the Quran Sharif, that's for all times, all places. You must believe in the Sunnah Mubarakah, teaching, preaching of Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's for all times, all places. You must believe all the Sahaba, male, female, adult children are going to Jannah and Paradise. Wa kullu wa'adallahul husna, chapter 57, verse 10. We believe in the awliyaullah, and we accept the four schools of thought. So on this last one, these Salafis, they are free agents. You see that? Let me give you a quick lesson, students, ulama. Write it down, it'll help you in life. The word that you will find everywhere is ittiba, to follow immaculately. Chapter 40, Surah Mu'min, verse 7. Wattaba'u sabilaka, and they follow your way, what you chalked out, Ya Allah, so that they must follow immaculately. They must follow Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Chapter 3, verse 30. 31. إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني follow me حبيبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم immaculately يحببكم الله you become the beloved of Almighty Allah جل وعلا ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم you must follow the Sahaba and that is chapter 9 verse 100 والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم you see اتباع And after Sahaba, who must you follow? وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ You must follow immaculately the path of those who turn towards me. So that is chapter 31, verse 15, Surah Luqman. We say that refers to the awliyaullah, and that refers to the four schools and the imams and so forth. So all are included here with the awliyaullah. They say, no, we are free agents. What we have to follow? Follow Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. We will follow Bin Baz. We will follow Albani. We will follow Qarzawi. We will follow Salih bin Uthaymeen. I met all four of them. They are great, great ulama. But nowhere can they compare with the four giants, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, and Imam Abu Hanifa, Rahimahullah. If you want something, then you Salafis, and you, Hazrat Mawlana Ahmad Sadiq Desai Sahib, our Ustad from PE writes, they are like the cows roaming around in India. You see that? The Salafi characters. Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah Rahimahullah celebrated student is who? Hafiz Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah. Hafiz Ibn Qayyim Al-Jawziyah celebrated student is who? Hafiz Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali. Hafiz Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali wrote a book which the Salafis try and hide. Ar-Raddu ala man ittaba'a ghayr al-madahib al-arba'a. A refutation of those people who follow anybody else beside the four schools. Now Ramadan Mubarak will come, they will tell you 8 rakats, 20, they will read you, tell you 8 rakats or 10 rakats. But the Ummah knows they must read 20 rakats. And that is for more than 1,000 years. Sheikh Atiyah Muhammad Salim wrote the book, Our Ustad, and I used to sit in his dars in Masjid Nabawi, and all four schools agree on it. They will tell you 3 talaqs is 1, just like the Christian's Trinity, we say 3 talaqs is 3. They will tell you this normal socks, and all four of them, Sheikh Bin Baz, Sheikh Albani, Sheikh Ardawi, Sheikh Salih Usaymin, we say Rahimahullah for them, but we reject their fatwa totally. They say this normal socks you wear, cotton nylon socks, you can make masa on it. None of the A'imma Arba accepted it. So therefore, if your son or daughter is interested to marry a Salafi, Salafis, today Salafis, so they are Muslim, but even I will tell you, pay choice and say no, don't entertain it. You want to get married, you need a boy, I announced it yesterday in Q&A, a Jamaat came here the weekend, so this guy here, he did something, he's a Hafiz, he's a Qari, and he's a Maulana and a big guy, very handsome guy, green eyes, and you know, you can make out this guy is a real sharpshooter. So I called him, I said, you mustn't do that, you know, and then he smiled. Then I gave him one kitab, the next salat when I met him. Then I called him, I said, you're married? He said, no. I said, I'm going to announce on the radio. And he's from a hell of a rich family. You see, I will give you the family's name and so forth. So I don't know the guy, I just met him. So anyway, so I told him, because you, if you're not going to get married quickly, then we fear, you must remember, this Zamana is Zamana of Fitna. Make sure you don't do what Trump did and get involved in rifle repairs and so forth, you see. So get married quickly and I'll announce you. But I won't take your name, I won't say all that. But I just met you. But inshallah, all our youth, sons and daughters, grandchildren, get them married very quickly. We're living in Zamana of Fitna, but not to the Salafi characters. They're Muslim, but it will cause big problems, rows and ructions between you and your wife and then the children. Why you need all that unnecessary headaches in your life?
Mufti Saab, is there a masla stating that it is not permissible for a blind person to make imamat when there are people of sight who can fulfill this requirement? Or is it just said as a precaution?
100% the good question is, look at Abasa wa tawalla anja'ahu al-a'ma, and that ayat was revealed for him, Abdullah bin Ummi Maktoum, Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who'd go out for jihad, who'd go out for da'wat, leave Medina Munawwara, appoint a khalifa. How during the battle of Tabuk, you must remember Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, appointed Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. So he was a khalifa. Different occasions, different people. Sometime he, Habibuna rahmatulil alameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, appointed him, Abdullah bin Umm Maktoum, A'ma, the blind sahabi, when he was in charge of Medina, Imamatul Kubra, then Imamatul Sughra, to make Imamati permissible. But we must make sure the person, although he's blind, but maybe he's a hafiz, he's an alim, and is very particular and meticulous regarding his taharat, najasat, regarding his paki, napaki, then to read salat behind him, totally permissible. But you get another person, he's blind and so forth, he doesn't bother much and so forth, so to appoint him as an imam is makruh and so forth. So that is what the fuqaha and the jurists of Islam has mentioned. At that juncture, we remember al-imam al-Shafi's great statement in Kitabul Janais in Tirmizi Sharif, al-fuqaha wa a'lamu bima'ani al-hadith. The fuqaha, the jurists and the scholars of Islam, they understand the greater meaning and connotation of the ahadith mubarakah. So that is it. So it's permissible if the person is a hafiz, alim, sheikh, and meticulous and particular about cleanliness and so forth. And if it's not that, then the salat is valid, but is makruh. So better to abstain if we get a la parwa. You understand? Man khapla in Afrikaans. He doesn't bother too much about cleanliness and so forth. So it's better you don't appoint him as the imam.
Is it sunnah for either the groom or bride or both to arrange to pay for a walima?
Walima must be paid for by the groom. The bride got nothing to do with walima. The groom must pay. But in our zamana, they want to short-circuit the system. You see, now I don't have children, so you want to get married to my daughter. So now what happens? So I say, you must pay for the walima. But my daughter says, yeah, but even I want the function. Our people call it a reception. So now we hit two birds with one stone. You see that? So now we say, okay, nikah before Zohar or after Zohar. And then the chow and the meals. So you will pay for the walima, I will pay for the reception, and we go 50-50 or two-thirds, one-third, whatever agreement we make. And in that way there, and after the nikah, the boy and the girl will go into khalwa in privacy, and they won't consummate the marriage, obviously, but they will just give a peck on the neck, you see that, some touching and smooching and tata, you know, all that. So then that guy is in a hurry now, come on, let's have the meals quickly, I got much more activities to do, you see that. So that is what they call. So is that permissible, that after khalwa and after privacy, husband, wife, then after half an hour, whatever an hour, and then you serve the meal, and then the boy pays, that's walima, and the girl's family pay. This reception business is not sunnah. It's something we brought about, you must remember. But it is acceptable. But all those other dandas and things that are happening is definitely against Islam. That the intermingling and the videoing, and you must remember the dancing and the music and what then what goes on nowadays. All that A to Z, haram, not permissible. Last question.
Iftisab for a female in her home. Is it permissible for her to make tilawat of the Quran Sharif loudly, medium tone, or silently?
You can read a little bit medium tone. I like that word you use, but you don't have to scream and shout. There's no ajanib, there's no one there. Your husband is there, your sons are there, your daughters are there. So you want to read the Quran Sharif little bit loudly, so that's fine, there's no problem. But now what's happening, that lady Hafiza Qariya, and now she want to tune it up and read with the tune, so the men also shake their head and they say, wah, 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 shabash calendar, char number, and this qari'ah is reading al-qari'ah, mal-qari'ah, wa ma adraka mal-qari'ah, and you're tuning it up, all haram business, all that. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.